Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a good hand. Come on. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, amen, I want to ask you to turn to the book of James. Amen. And as you turn there this morning, I want to first of all thank God for my salvation. Amen. Thank God for our founders. Amen. Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because of them, amen, they share the ministry with us. We have opportunity. We have opportunity to serve God at capacities we would never dream of. But because of our founders believe in us, amen. I thank God for my pastor, Pastor Tom, Sister Dodie, amen. Just for taking a chance on a young kid, amen. Praise God. I just want to thank Pastor Nick, amen, and the region here, Pastor Charlie, and all the ministers, amen, for the opportunity to minister this morning. Praise God, amen. The only thing I know about prayer is that when I got saved, they told me to pray. Come on, somebody. They said, pray. How many people know that we got to pray just to make it today? Come on, somebody. Amen. And amen. I just want to thank God for my beautiful wife. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on now. Praise God. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 16. And excited. Amen. Privileged to be here this morning. We just got back from the regional meetings there in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And our pastors, amen, Pastor Sister Julie, challenging us, amen, to grow. How many people know as leaders, we got to continue to grow? And the word he said was stretch, amen. And how many people know that when Pastor said he says something, it comes to pass? And how many people know that God is stretching us? Amen. And so it was a good time there. And great things are happening in Victory Outreach. And we're excited for that. Amen. We're excited to be here with the UTC East, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. And right now, keep up the train service in prayer. Right now, we just have three directors transition into other ministries, and we have three new directors right there, amen, in South Africa and Panama and in the West Coast, amen. And so we know God is still doing something powerful, though, amen. And we're excited because now that the very own the MTC just opened up. Come on, somebody. And if you're a UTC alumni, I want to encourage you, or if you feel the call of God upon your life, I want to encourage you to talk to your pastor and join the MTC, amen? Because, amen, how many know we have a global vision in Victory Outreach? And, amen, I just want to throw all that out. James chapter 5, verse 16 is right there. And the Bible says that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great, powerful, and wonderful results. In the Message Bible, it says this: the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Pray with me this morning. Father, in the name of your son, Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak. I ask you, Father, just to move me aside, speak through my life, God. Speak to the hearts of your people, God, this afternoon in this prayer summit, God, that we would, God, just get a hold of you, God, that you would just have your way not only in our personal lives, in our families, in our church, God, in our churches, in our region, God, and in Victory Outreach International, Father. I just thank you, Lord, and I ask you to have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, powerful, and you may be seated. There was a certain man that couldn't find the right posture for prayer. He tried praying on his knees, but it was too comfortable for him. Besides, it wrinkled his slacks. He tried praying standing up, but soon his legs got tired. He tried praying seated, but that didn't seem relevant for him. So one day as he was walking through a field, he fell headfirst into an open well, and boy, did he pray ever. Amen. You'll catch that later. Today I want to talk about the power of prayer and where does it come from. The power of prayer and where does it come from. See, one man put it like this: prayer catapults us into the frontier of the spiritual life. Another man said that prayer ushers us into communion with the Holy Father. One man put it like this: meditation introduces us to the inner life. Fasting accompanies the means. Study transforms the mind. But prayer brings us into the deepest and highest work. To pray is to be strong. Real prayer is life creating and life changing. The Bible says a person right before God has great power. A person right before God has great power. Prayer and consecration are closely related. Come on, somebody. The prayer of consecration. Amen. I want to say concentration. Come on now. I missed that class, but that's all right. They're closely related because prayer leads up to and governs consecration. Prayer is precedent to it, accompanies it, and is the direct result of it. Ian Bounds says this: no consecration is worth a thought which is not the direct fruit of much praying, and which fails to bring one into the life of prayer. Prayer is the one thing prominent in a consecrated life. How many people know that this morning that what God wants to do in our lives and this afternoon when we come to a prayer summit and as God brings us here and we have a time of refreshing, amen. Even last night at the regional service, pastor made the altar call and come on, how many know some people got right? You ain't hearing me this morning. And as we begin to continue to make adjustments in our life and allow God to work in us, and this morning even a time of going before the altars, even when the lights turned down, come on somebody, and the flames came up, come on now. I was like, just throw me in, God. And then I was like, just open the baptism and baptize me after. But we took a time to consecrate our lives, to ask God to wash us, amen, and to make us right. Because some people know that when God begins to get a hold of a man or a woman and separate their lives, when God begins to get a hold of you and separate you, and he begins to consecrate your life, there's something powerful that happens. He begins to set apart someone. And as he sets apart you, he begins to draw a need inside of our lives to pray. Come on now. A need to pray inside of us. And a consecrated prayer, amen, is the direct result, amen. Being consecrated is the direct result of praying, but prayer is the direct result of living consecrated unto God. Are you with me? Amen. Psalms chapter 51, verse 16 and 17, amen, King David wrote a famous prayer. Come on, somebody. And it says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. David was telling God, listen, God, you don't delight in this, and you don't delight in offerings, because you know, God, that I'll cut 1,000 calves. Come on now. When he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and they were beginning to move it, he slaughtered calves every feet. You guys know the story, amen. And he began to sacrifice. And God knew that he could sacrifice all that. And he was telling God, you won't take that. But what you're going to take is a separate heart, a heart that's sacred unto you. Can I get a little more monitor, please? He said, God, you won't honor this. You won't take this. And a lot of times you and I, we come to God with our prayers. And we come to God with our achievements. We come to God with our accomplishments. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Wow, God, you know I gave my tithes yesterday. Can you just... Well, God, you know I went to church. Come on. Well, God, you know I prayed for so-and-so. Well, God, you know that I did kids gang last week. And we come to God with our, we're trying to slaughter calves when God doesn't want a burnt offering. Amen. God wants your heart. He don't want the burnt offering. He don't want that. He wants our heart. We come to God, and I even heard it, amen, the other day, saying we want to try to pray more and do more and come to God more, when it's God saying, I just want a separate heart unto me. What does it mean to be consecrated? Consecration, amen, is a voluntary act of committing oneself to worship, to prayer, and to the service to God. The word consecrated literally means to unite by force, amen, to be separated for a sacred purpose. And when you put it together with prayer, amen, and say, now, you know what, my prayer is going to be set apart unto God. Consecration is not so much the setting of oneself apart from sinful things and wicked ends, but rather it is the separation from worldly, secular, and even legitimate things. If they come in conflict with God's plans to holy use, it is the devoting of all we have to God for His own specific use. It is a separation from the things questionable or even legitimate, when the choice is to be made between the things of life and the claims of God. How many people know this morning that when we come to God, we got to make a choice? When we pray, we got to make a choice. Not just the wicked things. The wicked things are obvious. But what about the legitimate things? Doesn't the Bible say that all things, amen, might be, amen, acceptable, but they're not all permissible? Come on, somebody. Or they might be permissible, but they're not beneficial. They might be, amen, permissible, but they're not beneficial. And when we come to God, and we got to say, God, I got to make that claim. I got to make a choice, amen. And when we come to prayer, we got to make a choice, amen. Amen, we got to say, this is what I'm going to give up, God. Not just for a burnt offering, God, but God, I want to give you my heart, God. I got to give you my life, God. Because if God has your heart and He has your life, then nothing else is questionable. But sometimes we still have ins and outs, and we make things questionable. Amen. God bless myself. Amen. But when we come to God, and we got to say, God, here's my heart. When I was asked to speak this, amen, I was thinking, okay, God would start putting something on my heart. But then when Pastor Charlie called me and said, I want you to speak on a consecrated prayer, I was like, man, the only thing holy was my socks when I came to Victory Outreach. Come on, somebody. Just kidding. Amen. But God begins to separate us for a higher calling, for a higher purpose. God begins to separate you and I. And there's choices that we got to make. Come on now. And God wants to do something special. But we got to make that choice. Turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. See, it takes prayer to bring one into such a consecrated life of holiness to the Lord. And it takes prayer to maintain that life. Without prayer, such a life of holiness will break down. Holy people are praying people. Come on, somebody. Holiness of heart and life puts people in praying positions. Come on now. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says that Daniel made up his mind. Tell your neighbor, he made up his mind. that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Come on, somebody. See, this is an example of a consecrated life. God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the command of the officials. Are you with me? Another version said that not only did Daniel make up his mind, he purposed in his heart. Come on now. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So you got to understand something about Daniel. Daniel was 15 years old when he got carried away, amen, to Babylon in captivity. He was just 15 years old. We think about Daniel and the lions then, right? We want to shut down lions. Come on, who remembers the story of that? We want to shut the mouths of lions. Come on now. We think about Daniel and the lions then. We think about Daniel standing up for the kingdom of God. But we forget that he was only 15 years old. He didn't know much about prayer. He just knew about, he loved his God. He just knew the God of Israel. He didn't have all the skills. He didn't have all the know-hows or the whatnots. He didn't go to the training. He was just a young kid. And God took him, amen, allowed him to get taken into captivity. And then when he was taken into captivity, it was there, amen, over 800 miles that, amen, God did a special work in his life. The Bible says that he separated three times a day and would pray towards Jerusalem. Amen. He was there as a young man, amen, to serve, if you would say, carried into slavery, abducted to serve an emperor of a world power. To serve a man that was ungodly. To serve a man, amen, that had nothing to do with God, that wanted to, amen, demise God, to wipe, amen, the name of God off the face of the earth. And isn't that kind of like the world that you and I live in today? We live in a godless world that wants to wipe God off the pages of the world. Come on, somebody. It's anti-God. Come on now. They'll, amen, stick up for other people's rights. But when it comes to Christian rights, they won't stick up for them. It's before us so blatantly, so blunt, right there before us. It's a world that we live in. But how many people know Daniel faced that same world? As I was reading this, and I was reading on this, it was heavy that it stuck out to me, and I want to share this little insert to you real quick. It says that Daniel's mediocre rise, amen, amen, was remarkable because when he arrived in Babylon as a young teenager, he was subject to strange customs, unfamiliar language, elaborate dress, exotic foods, and pagan gods, a kind of cultural brainwashing. He was stripped of his identity and given a new name, Belteshazzar. All right, that's how you say amen. The purpose of the new name was a tribute to a Babylonian god, which had been to destroy Daniel's loyalty and to destroy his allegiance to his own god. But to take it even further, he was also cruelly stripped of his masculinity and forced to become a eunuch, amen, to make him more subservient to his new master. But something that stuck out with Daniel was he knew his God. Daniel knew his God, and amen. And if you read the book of Daniel, you know one thing, that Daniel, amen, stuck around longer than four kings. He outlived four Babylonian kings because the Bible says that he would not defile himself. The Bible says that, amen, he didn't take of the choice foods. He didn't lavish himself into king's wealth, but he separated himself unto God. And he stood around just a little bit longer. And how many people know this morning that as we come to God in prayer, and as we come to God separated unto God, amen, and as we allow God to work inside of our hearts, amen, we might just make it around just a little bit longer. Are you with me this morning? Come on now. We might make it around just a little bit longer. We have men of God, amen, that have gone before us. We have our founders and our elders. Come on now. And the multi-region, we have our leadership that has gone before us, that have made it around. Examples that we can lock on to and know that if they made it because they were separate unto God, that you and I can make it. And that if they've gone through it and cracked open cities and prayed, built disciples and launched out churches, that you and I could do the same because they have exampleship before us. Because God separated them. And God separates you and I. But to pray a prayer of consecration, amen, is a choice that you and I have to make. To say, God, I want you to separate my life unto for holy things. For your will, not my will. For your pleasure, not my pleasure. The Bible says that the prayers of a righteous, come on, someone, availeth much. And as we see that there was there Daniel having a consecrated life, amen. The Bible says that, amen, he availeth much. When you study in the book of Daniel, you'll see right there that for they called on to help. Come on now, the prince of Persia. 3 weeks that he came and the angel came, but he had to fight the prince of Persia. And he was pushed back, but there was prayer there. You see Daniel's disciples and his brothers, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Men of prayer that wouldn't bow down because they were separate unto God in a godless amen, country, in a godless time, that God stuck up for them. See, I'm here to tell you this morning that as we separate ourselves unto God, God will stick up for us. God will go before us. The word availeth means to be strong in body, to be robust, to be sound in health, and to have power. To have power shown by extraordinary deeds. To wild power. And I like this one. To have strength to overcome. But the key is fervent prayer. When we make the choice to be consecrated unto God and to separate ourselves, amen, we got to have that fervent prayer. To operate, to be at work, to put forth power. Amen, to be at force, amen. To operate, are you with me, in prayer. When we continuously seek God, you and I will work in a progress. Come on now. How many people know that we just don't become praying saints? It takes work. It takes time. Come on, there's some days we just spit dust. Amen. Come on now. You ain't hearing me this morning. Let's keep it real. Some days you're just there trying to spit. You're just spitting dust. You got to take a drink of that coffee. Go make you another cup. Amen. And then there you go. They say it's a false anointing when you drink coffee before you pray. I don't care what they say, but if I need a cup, give me a cup, amen. You might call false anointing, but I feel the presence of God after that cup, amen. But it's a work in progress, amen, because prayer is to be learned. It's a relationship that's learned with you and God, with us and God, amen. Just like some of you married folks, there ain't married people in the house, amen. Come on, how many people know in marriage you learn to talk to your spouse? Amen, God bless one guy right here that talks to his spouse. Everyone else don't, amen. Amen, let's just, the worship team, come on, altar call. But when you learn to talk with your spouse, it's hard. My wife tells me, tell me something I don't know about you. I'm like, I've known you for like 20 years. What don't you know about me? Tell me what you thought when you first saw me. I go, I was like 15 years old when I first saw you. Like, what do you want me to tell you, you know? But I had to learn to talk to her and learn to give her words of affirmation. Learn to talk. I'm still learning, praise God, amen. What I'm trying to say, though, is that prayer is to be learned. When you work in prayer, it's to be learned. We just come and show up, and sometimes it's hard. We look at the prayer targets, and we're like, man, what else I got to pray for? You know? Because it's learned. Because when we condition ourselves to pray, God begins to do something in our lives. But it's a prayer that's set apart. God hears the heart that's set apart. The heart, the man and the woman that chose to say, you know what, God, I'm going to set my heart apart. Yeah. I remember when we were sitting in there in the car with Pastor Johnny and Sister Dez, and we were driving somewhere, and we were talking to him about being directors in training center and this and that, and we were talking about different things. We were there in the West Coast for a couple of days. And then I asked him, so what shows do you guys like? You know, we're just trying to make conversation, get to know him a little bit. They're like, we don't really watch TV. Like, you don't watch TV? I'm like, yeah, I can think about it. You don't watch TV. You know? And that was one of my wife's pastimes, to watch a show or something late at night. But now in the training center, we really don't watch TV. Now I know what he's talking about. Yeah. Wow. So watch the news. Because when God takes you somewhere, and I'm not trying to make myself holier than I'm not, but when God takes you somewhere, there's things you got to cut out sometimes. I mean, don't get me wrong, I want to watch TV, so I don't got time. But what I'm trying to say, though, is there something that happens when you make a choice? When you make a choice to separate your life, something powerful happens. But it's a work in progress. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples to pray. See, the disciples asked to learn how to pray because they were open and they wanted to have powerful prayer in their lives, right? We don't just want to serve God. We want to serve God with all our heart. We just don't, amen, walk around praying. Come on, somebody. It just doesn't come natural, right? You just don't get saved one day and you walk around and you're speaking in tongues. Come on, somebody. You're like, amen, you're just casting out demons. It just doesn't happen. I mean, some of the guys in the home, amen, just start talking, amen. Sometimes, even people in the church, you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but sometimes it just doesn't come out yet. It's a work in progress. But God wants to fill your lives. Just don't walk around saying, amen, should have drove a Hyundai. Come on, somebody. Tie a bow tie. If you want to learn how to pray, the best way to learn how to pray, I'm going to blow your mind right now. I'm about to give you fresh revelation right now. The best way to pray, to learn how to pray, is just to pray. That's it. Come on, some of you got a hand. But not just any prayer. A prayer of a heart that's separated unto God. When we come to the altars and we pray for targets, that's why they gave us that time to separate, to cleanse our minds, to cleanse our hearts, to tell God to wash the junk out of us. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we have junk fill us and we're full of junk and we try to go to God and we serve Him. Come on now. If I gave you a cup of water, right? We don't have a cup up here, but if I give you a cup of water, I said, take a drink, but it had like floaters in it. Come on, somebody. Right? It had crust on it. It hasn't been washed. You wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want that at all. Some parents know what I'm talking about when you give your child a drink and they all the backwash. Come on now. Like, I ain't drinking this. No, we're here to have it. Right? Come on. But if I were to give you a drink of water like that, you wouldn't want it. But it's a fresh drink like this. Oh, Pastor, I'll take that right now. I'll take that right now. When we come to God and we ask God to cleanse us, He takes the junk. Come on now. He gets the Holy Ghost, amen, and He washes us. He gets the blood of Jesus and washes our hearts so that we could be a fresh drink, not only to Jesus, but to the world. Come on, somebody. It's a fresh in the presence. We're a fresh in Him. It's a fresh drink. We're ministering unto God, but also God uses us to be a fresh drink unto the world. But sometimes we come to the world, amen, and we offer them a dirty glass. Oh. Come on, have you ever been there? We offer them a dirty glass. How many people know that's convicting? And God's called us to be men of God and women of God. And we're a dirty glass sometimes. But thank God for, amen, pastors and leaders to say, you know, we're going to have a prayer summit. Yeah. We're going to have a time of repentance. A time to come before God. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to be a dirty glass. I don't want to give the world dirty water. Come on, somebody. Help me out here. Amen. I want to touch into the wow. I want to tap into the river of the Holy Spirit. I just want to tap in. I want the river to flow. The Bible says that if anyone believes in me, streams of living water will flow within them. Come on now. I want streams to flow. Come on now. I don't want it to be corrupt streams. I don't want it to be dirty streams. Come on, somebody. But I want it to be streams that flow for his honor and his glory. See, the Bible says that in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, that Jesus withdrew to lonely places. In Luke 6, 12, it says that he spent the night praying. In Mark 1, 35, it says early in the morning he got up and prayed and had communion with God. See, sometimes when you want to have that consecrated heart, it's going to be you're going to have to go pray in lonely places. Because some people might not go that route with you. Even in the church house. Some people in your family might not go that route with you. But Jesus withdrew to lonely places. But how many people know in lonely places, a holy God will meet you? In lonely places, amen, God Almighty will come down and meet you. And when we separate ourselves into lonely places, God will show up and tell you it's all right. It's worth it. When you separate, I'm with you. I will anoint you. I will be with you. See, the Apostle Paul talked about prayer as well. In Colossians 4:12 and Colossians 2:1, he talks about prayer being a struggle. He talked about agonizing in prayer. And how many people know this morning that sometimes it's a struggle? Yeah. And sometimes you got to agonize. Come on. Yeah. One of the root words is to wrestle. Paul says, oh, how I struggle in prayer for you. How I wrestle in prayer. Sometimes it's a struggle just to pray, and then sometimes you feel like you're struggling when you're praying. Struggle is the root word for agony. It describes a person struggling at work until utterly weary. It talks about a soldier battling for his life. And if we're going to pray a prayer, a consecration, if we're going to come to God, and it's not a one-time prayer, it's not a one and done, but it's a prayer that we got to, and it's an altar that we got to continuously come to and stay at. There's so many things fighting for our attention that want to keep us from this altar. But how many people know that we got to agonize for it? We got to wrestle for it. We got to struggle for it. Now, forgive me if you're holy than thou and if you got it together, amen, it's all right. But, amen, how many people know that the enemy wants to come at you? He wants to take you out. Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. You might not be getting him mad like I'm getting him mad, amen. But I'm here to tell you the enemy wants to get some of you out of here. And so you got to fight for that altar. You got to struggle for that altar. You got to press in for that altar so that we can continue to pray and have a life of prayer, a life of consecration, a life that's separated unto God. I just want to share three things real quick. What keeps us from praying? Number one, fear keeps us from praying. Fear is the opposite of faith. That keeps us from praying. We have feared. We don't believe that God's going to come through. Or we have fear that God won't even hear our cries. Are you with me this morning? We have, there's fear there that keeps men and women from praying. So I don't pray. Well, why don't you pray? Because there's fear. It's the opposite of faith. When we have fear in our lives, it puts a huge doubt on God. The enemy, the accuser of the brethren, attacks us and attacks our spirits so that we have fear, so that you and I won't come to a God for our rescue. Come on, somebody. And we won't come to God. How many people know that King David, even though his life was, amen, trying to be taken from King Saul when he was on the run, and many times when David would go through different things, but he would still come to God, even in the midst of his struggle, even in the midst of agony, in the midst of pleading insanity. Come on, somebody. When you study about it, he would still come to God because he didn't have fear. He had faith. He knew that God would meet him right where he was at. The second thing that keeps us from prayer is the lack of prayer. We often fail to pray because there's no discipline in our lives. Because there's no discipline in our lives, we don't pray. You don't have a time to pray and a place to pray, then you don't pray. This keeps us from praying because there's no discipline. But how many people know that God's called you and I to pray? Yeah. How many people know when to come to a summit like this, to give up a Saturday? But how many people know we're not really giving up a Saturday? We're investing into the kingdom of God. We're not really sacrificing, if you think about it. We're investing into our spiritual inheritance. We're not really giving up a few hours. Are you hearing me this morning? This is an investment. Some of you are coming out spiritual giants. Some of you are coming out spiritually charged. God's preparing you for the week, for the month. Amen. God's getting some of you women ready for women's convention. Come on, somebody. God's getting some of you ready for the ministry that you're about to step into. But we got to have discipline in our lives so that we could pray. And the third thing this morning, as the keyboard player comes, what keeps us from praying, amen? Not only is it fear, not only is it lack of prayer, but the third thing this morning, amen, is sin. Sin keeps us from praying. I don't want to labor on it. I know God used Pastor Nick powerful last night to just move in the altar. God gave us time this morning. But sometimes sin keeps us from praying. We look at God and we view God like some of you view your father. We view God like we view our father. Whenever we do something wrong, he's ready just to whoop us. Can I say that? I'm not condoning sin, but we got to come to God and know that God wants to clean up your mess. God wants to work things out in your life. God wants to cover you so that he can get you to where he wants you to be. And a lot of times what keeps us from praying a consecrated prayer is sin. There's a few others I want to throw in there. Sometimes we feel inadequate, insecure. How could God use us? But the biggest one is that struggle, that sin. But when God separates a man and God separates a woman, he's asking for your whole heart. He's asking for your whole life. What do you got to give to God today? What do you got to give to God? As you stand to your feet this morning, this afternoon. We come to God. God, separate me. God, separate me for use. God, separate me for purpose. See, God has called you to a consecrated life, to pray a consecrated prayer, because he's called you to a sacred use. I never understood that when I first got saved. I just knew I needed to love God. But as I began to grow in the things of God, I learned that, man, I need to be separated unto God. Because if you're not separated unto God, your heart can go far from God. And I believe that we have some prayer targets that we'll pray in just a moment. But right there where you are, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to bow your heads. And just ask God to meet you right where you're at this morning. Tell him, God, meet me right where I'm at. What's been holding you from your breakthrough? Has it been fear? Has it been lack of prayer? Has it been sin? Has it been insecurities? What's been holding you from your lack of prayer right there where you're at? Just tell God. You could tell him in an audible voice. You could tell him in your heart. Just tell him right there. Make that declaration this morning. Say, God, I want to live a separated life unto you. I want to have a prayer, a consecration, God, that takes me into a life of holiness, a life of sanctification, a life set apart for use. God, I worship you. I exalt you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you this morning. Father, I pray right now, God, for every man, woman in this place, God, every young person, God. Lord, you know exactly where we're at this morning, God. You know exactly where our hearts are at, God. Many you're calling to separate, God. Many you're calling to refresh. Many you're calling just to revive, God. Father, I pray right now, God, you meet them right where they're at, God. Be with them this morning, God. Be with them today, God. That they would not leave this prayer summit without their breakthrough, God. Without being energized, without being filled with the Holy Ghost, God. Without that fresh wind and that fresh desire for prayer. Hallelujah. Come on, as we sing a song, I want you to make your way up. We're going to start praying this afternoon. We have prayer targets.